Hello, I'm Jane Johnson, the founder of Careering Into Motherhood. Our aim at Careering Into Motherhood is to make life as a working mother that little bit easier. And I passionately believe that coaching and a supportive community are absolutely fundamental to that. It's why we have a partnership with over 60 different coaches who can help you with anything from changing careers to parenting children with special educational needs, going through divorce or other relationship challenges, to launching a business of your own. All the support and advice from our coaches is available on our website, www.careeringintomotherhood.com. And don't forget, the Careering Into Motherhood community is also available to you over on Facebook. Just search for our name and apply to join the group. We've got 11,000 other mums who will welcome you with open arms, and you can meet and engage with our coaches there as well. Now, without further ado, let's get into today's episode and let's get this interview started. My guest today is Aisha Murray. Aisha is a career coach and a podcaster herself, and she has been a supporter of Careering Into Motherhood for a number of years. She's a highly experienced coach and very passionate about the subject we're going to be discussing today, which is that of resilience. Aisha, welcome. I'm really delighted to have this conversation with you this morning. Thank you very much for agreeing to come on the podcast. You're obviously very familiar with podcasts yourself, given that you are the host of your own, The Parent Equation. And we've known each other professionally for a few years now, but we're going to be talking about this very thorny subject of resilience, and it feels really, really apt right now to be talking about that. How do you feel? How does the word resilience make you feel right now today, I suppose?
Well, right now today, given all of the personal issues going on with children and house moving, etc., resilience is absolutely key. I think the word resilience, a bit like confidence, a bit like some of these, I suppose, all-encompassing umbrella terms, resilience means very different things to different people, or their interpretation of resilience can mean different things. But I think at the core, there are some very key principles around resilience, and A, how to build it, and secondly, why do we need it in the first place? So I think it can mean so many different things, but there are some core principles that I think might be useful to go through today.
And I think it's really important when we talk about resilience, we're not talking about simply bouncing back or growing a thicker skin, are we? It's much more. How would you describe it?
I suppose if you look at the dictionary definition, or a version of that, is it's the ability to adapt to and recover from challenges or difficult situations. So as you say, it could be in part developing a thicker skin. There are different scenarios bring up different types of resilience that are needed. It's not kind of one size fits all for everything that we face in life. And different scenarios have different emotional, I suppose we have different emotional reactions, obviously, to different scenarios. So something that is very close to home, especially involving our children or our partners or our families, friends, the emotions there are much more heightened, obviously, when we're faced with challenges. So there's almost not a different kind of resilience, but a high level of resilience potentially. Whereas there are things we might go through in life that we just a bit more water off a duck's back, and we can accept them, and we can have a bit of a thicker skin. So I think there are different ways of being resilient depending on the situation that we're faced with.
I suppose what I meant to say is it's not just about soldiering on, is it? Regardless, it's actually having that awareness, that self-awareness.
Yeah, exactly. So building resilience is essentially about self-awareness. It's understanding how do we respond to certain situations as individuals, so our individual way of response mechanism, if you like. Once we are more aware of the way we respond to things, once we're more aware of the emotions that come up for us for certain situations, which again differ from person to person, we can then put in the right coping mechanisms for a certain situation or scenario. It's never just soldiering on, because there'll be something that needs to be dealt with rather than soldiering on. But again, there might be a reason why we just accept a situation and move forward. There might be a scenario where we have to adapt ourselves to a situation. Maybe the situation actually can't be changed, so we have to adapt to whatever that is. We might have control over it, and we can change the situation, which is then altering the situation entirely. And there's a big piece actually just around self-care and well-being. And the more we look after our emotional well-being, the more we look after our physical well-being, again, the better prepared we are, the more resilient we are when it comes to these kind of situations.
Certainly. And you spoke earlier about the coping mechanisms. Mm. What are some of those coping mechanisms?
So some of those, and what I'd start with is one of the key ways we build resilience is through experience. So if we have already encountered a specific situation and we have been through it, we have found things that worked, that got us through that situation, whatever they might be, we log that, you know, that sort of that muscle memory, if you like, stays. So then the next time we're faced with a similar situation, in theory, we can automatically, you know, go back into the archives and think, right, what did I do last time? What worked? What didn't work? What did I learn? Etc. And we can, it helps us get through it. So that's one coping mechanism, is just the experience that we learn through life. But as we know, being a parent brings a new challenge every single day, I think. And it's literally like every day is a school day, being a parent. Mm. So of course we're faced with new challenges all the time, and the experience might not be there. So a coping mechanism in that case is, so let's think of an example. Outcome, for me, it's outcome-based and goal-based. So right. I'll give an example. My daughter is struggling at school at the moment with a bullying issue. And what I am working on with her, and again, it's about building my own resilience, but helping her build her resilience actually as well, being a good role model to her, is thinking about trying to, first of all, go through the emotional reaction to this and going through that in a really pragmatic way with her as well. So what emotions are coming up for both of us? What does that mean? These aren't good emotions or bad emotions. They are there and they're present, and we need to be aware of them. So that's a long phase, you know, getting, this is not an overnight thing. The second thing is, what do we want the outcome of this situation to be? For her, it could be moving schools. So there could be an outcome, we actually move schools, and that not solves a problem, but will certainly get us some of the way to changing this negative situation. Then we can go into a more practical planning mode. Okay, that's an option for us. What do we need to put in place to get to that place? Or option B, what do we need to put in place to get to option B? So it's about taking agency over situations that potentially might feel a bit out of our control. And I think one coping mechanism is that taking agency, taking control back, empowering ourselves, which is part of resilience, empowering ourselves to make decisions that work for us. It's not saying sod everybody else, you know, although it'd be nice to do that sometimes. But it is saying, actually, I'm going to put our needs first. In this case, our needs, me and my daughter and my husband and everyone else, but we're going to put our needs first and work out what we need to make this work better for us. So there's a bit of a, not selfishness, but self-care, looking after ourselves. So that's also a mechanism, is self-care, looking after our own emotional health, stepping away from situations that are potentially negative or toxic, drawing ourselves towards situations that actually bring us more happiness and fulfillment. And I say this a lot to clients, is how much time do you spend in situations or with people that drain your energy versus situations of people who bring you energy, and try and obviously do more of the latter and less of the former. So all of these are just, and there's a myriad of examples for coping, but it's understanding what makes me feel better about a situation, what helps me get through things. It could just be making a cup of tea and taking a 5-minute breather out of a particular situation that's, you know, causing you angst. But that in itself is a coping mechanism. So yes. I think it's just understanding what works for us as individuals and having them there in our armory. So that we know we can get them when we need them. I think that's where the awareness comes in.
If you're a coach listening to this and you want to join our mission to make life that little bit easier for working mothers, then we have a limited number of places available on our coaching partnership program. You'll get access to our community of thousands of mums interested in coaching advice, in-person support with your business development and marketing, and opportunities to create a valuable content library that resonates with your potential clients. Coaching can be a lonely business when you're on your own. We've got a supportive cohort of around 60 other coaches who can help you, and we bring marketing and communications tools and an active community of mums. I'm Jane, the founder of Careering into Motherhood, and as a fellow female founder, I want to see your business thrive, and I want to help more women to access the game-changing powers of your professional coaching. Email me for more details, jane@careeringintomotherhood.com. That's jane@careeringintomotherhood.com. Now back to the interview.
How do you, because it also takes quite a lot of self-awareness, just talking from personal point of view, something happens, sparks a reaction, which will tend to be a highly emotional reaction. And it's, you know, and then that can explode, that can lead to, you know, one thing to another. And before you know, you're in a very high stress situation. How do you help yourself to stand back from that situation? And as you, to use your example, if you have a child who's unhappy at school because of external circumstances, especially as a mother, it can be so emotional. Your natural, your gut instinct is to want to stand up and fight for that child. But it takes a level of maturity and even understanding resilience to be able to say, okay, let's approach it in the way you've just described. Is that something that you think can be coached, can be trained, or is it something that you're just naturally imbued with?
So I think there are people who are naturally catastrophizers, if you like, and they see the negative quite quickly in situations. And there are people on the flip side who are much more optimistic and always want to see the positive. So it's definitely part of nature that's, you know, you are one or the other or somewhere in between. But that doesn't mean that we can't train ourselves to be more resilient and to look at things in a, not necessarily a more positive way, because sometimes it's hard to look at everything in a positive way, but in a more pragmatic, again, outcome-based, how can I make this work for me way. So I think it can be trained. And one of those ways is your perception of a situation. And this comes back to the negative-positive perception.
Yeah.
So as you say, we can immediately jump to the negative, heightened emotions. What if this all goes terribly wrong? What if my child is never going to recover from this setback? What if her schooling, you know, falls off a cliff and she fails the GCSEs and her career and her life are over? You know, of course you could go down that route, that perspective. An alternative way, again, which takes time and thought to sort of get yourself in this mindset, but it's actually, what if we do move her school successfully? And what if she thrives at a new school and meets some friends who actually end up being her friends for life? And actually, it turns out to be the best move we could have made for her. So I think it's about changing that what if it's a negative perspective to what if this could be a positive perspective on this particular situation. So that's one way, and that's called cognitive reframing. So how we reframe these situations into something that feels more positive to us than negative. And of course, that is tricky when we're faced with a really tough situation. But it's just starting to use a more positive language, even to ourselves, to avoid being sucked into that catastrophizing aspect of it. And then, of course, it's about acknowledging the self-awareness again. How does the situation make you feel? So, do you know what? This situation makes me feel effing angry, actually. And that's okay. I'm not apologizing to anybody. It's my own feelings. I can sit with them. I can try and understand where they're coming from. I can talk to people who I trust about them. Obviously, not necessarily everybody, but people that you trust in your inner circle. So it acknowledges and not in those feelings that are coming up, and building that self-awareness builds resilience. Then once we know how we're feeling, is how are those feelings then manifesting themselves? So how am I behaving as a result of these feelings? And do I need to, well, again, adapt my behaviour? Do I need to be more diplomatic with certain things? Do I need to be more proactive? Do I need to be more submissive? Whatever it might be, how are my behaviours impacting the situation, positively or negatively? And then it really is about the knowledge is power kind of saying that we always use. Because the more knowledge we have about the way we react to situations, even if it's really heightened, the more we can then access these coping strategies in a much calmer, more pragmatic way. And I think if we go through that kind of journey, then we can put things into place that ultimately help us. And then we build that over time. And next time it happens, we have a bit more power, a bit more empowerment. Next time a bit more, next time a bit more. And that builds resilience over time. So yes, it can be coached and trained and learnt, but it's not overnight.
And I'm assuming some circumstances you'll feel totally in control and or resilient, and then something will come as a curveball and, you know, and throw all of that off balance again.
Yeah.
And so it's about digging deep into those coping mechanisms that you've kind of trained yourself. And do you have a place or a way or a time that you sort of, as you mentioned, sit with these feelings and think about them? Because again, I'm, you know, thinking when something comes up and you respond in a very, you know, emotional way or gut feeling kind of way, that's the most difficult time to have your thinking cap on. So what are the best ways that you can obviously either self-teach, or if you're, you know, if you're working with a coach or a therapist?
So a few things that I would do initially. So the first is, and again, this will work for some people, not for others, because then you have to decide what works for you individually. But is the first thing is always to give yourself that time to process the situation, ideally, which could just be walking away from something, even if it's a 10 minutes.
Mm.
But giving yourself time to just, a bit like sleeping on it, isn't it? Just process what's going on for you and be able to sit with it for a period of time. That's one thing, which then, if you link that with some breathing techniques, which really does help. And I'm not a mindfulness expert. I'm not someone who meditates. I don't even journal. All these kind of things. That's not my thing. But the 4-4-4 breathing, which actually my counsellor told me about a while ago, is you inhale for 4, hold your breath for 4, and exhale for 4. And just do that a few times. And it really does work, these very simple things. You know, but breathing is so important. Just to bring down that, if it is heightened emotions, bring that down a little bit so you're in a place where you can see more clearly.
Mm.
And then the third thing I would do, once you're in a place where actually you feel you can move forward a little bit, is using a feelings wheel. And you can Google feelings wheels. There are tons of different examples online. You can get kids' versions and adult versions. Mm. And essentially the feelings wheel is, it starts off with, it depends on the model, maybe 6-7 different feelings, high level. So anger, sadness, happiness, etc. But again, those words they're big words. Anger has so many nuances, for example, underneath it. And until we understand the nuance of that emotion, it's hard for us to then work with it. So the feelings wheel then splits out, say anger, into 3 or 4 sub-groups, sub-words, if you like. So it could be frustration, it could be resentment, etc. So then you think, well, actually, it's more of a frustrated anger rather than something else. Mm. And then it then breaks out frustration into 2 or 3 subcategories as well. So you can really get to the crux of that big emotion that we're feeling. Right. And again, it makes it more tangible and manageable. Mm. It helps us to label that emotion better.
Yeah.
And then once we have that, again, we can then say, right, what coping mechanism is going to work in this scenario now? What do I need to do? What do I actually want to get to? So I think that's initially what I would do in a sort of short space of time, is bring the emotion down through breathing, through just taking a moment. Mm-hmm. And then if need be, look at a feelings wheel to try and make a bit more sense about those heightened emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And that then should put you in a better place to then move forward.
I see. Yeah. Sounds, you know, they're such simple techniques yet really powerful.
Mm.
And some of what you were talking about there, I can imagine would work, you know, with adults and with children. How can we build more resilience in our children? As you say, I mean, you're going through a lot at the moment with your daughter. Surely what we want to do is to try and be able to teach them. And we went through something similar with my son. And I remember speaking to the school and saying, it's not necessarily about, you know, some sort of witch hunt after this person who was upsetting him, so much as I just felt I didn't have the tools in my toolkit to be able to help him build his resilience. So what are some of the things that you could do to help build resilience within kids?
So the first thing is to use one of those feelings wheels. And like I said, there is a kid version where the words used are just more applicable to child's language.
Right, yeah.
So you can definitely access one of those, print one off. I've got one printed off that I do use with the kids when I need to.
Have you?
And again, it just helps them tune into how they're feeling. And again, if you think about teenagers especially, I mean, They are going through all kinds of emotions on a second-by-second basis, literally. So anything we can do just to help them make a bit more sense, actually, of what's going on in their minds, again, without slipping into kind of feeling wheels, feelings wheels are really from. The second thing is to really listen. And my God, this is easier said than done when it comes to teenage children. But actually, again, just listening, letting them really, really say what they need to say without bias, without judgment, in a safe space, you know, and hopefully home, not for all kids, sadly, but hopefully home is a safe space for them. Because if somewhere like school doesn't feel like a safe space, then we need to provide that for them at home or in some other way. But having that support, that safety, psychological safety, where they can be absolutely honest with what they're going through and what they're thinking. And again, it's taking them through the same things I just talked about. So taking them through, you know, what does the situation mean to you? How are you perceiving it? And if they're feeling very negative, okay, well, let's talk about the language of what you're using. How can we look at, is there anything positive in the situation? Well, there might not be. But if not, let's try and adapt some of the language so it feels less, I suppose, less sort of emotive, potentially. And then asking them, the important thing, as with coaching, the important thing is to ask them what they would do about it. So rather than trying to impart too much of our own, because we are different individuals to them. Yes, we're more experienced in theory because we're adults. That's not always the case. And they live in a very different world than we did. A hugely different world when we were at school. So actually getting them involved in, okay, if you could change things, what would you want to do about it? What do you think the first step you could take is? And just, again, giving them that space to explore the options themselves rather than assuming, well, I'm the parent, so I know best and I'm going to tell them what I think they should do. So a bit of sort of the coaching style, actively listening to them, etc., and helping them identify what their coping mechanisms are. So asking them what's worked for them in the past, what makes them feel better, what gives them joy and happiness. And then hopefully we can facilitate that for them. So, I don't know, allowing them to spend more time doing something that brings them joy. Or finding a club or a hobby or something that aligns to their interests. So it's an them that maybe they can't do, find by themselves. But initially getting them to sort of start the conversation with us rather than around.
Yeah, it's really interesting, isn't it? You say it's easy, we want to fix everything for our kids, but actually in doing that we don't really fix things for them. So digging deep and getting them to think through the problems and challenges. Can I ask, do you have one sort of mantra by which you do a bit of self-coaching or that you perhaps default to when it comes to situations where you need to find some resilience?
Yeah, I think it would be, how can I reframe this challenge and think about it as an opportunity to learn or to grow? I would put a caveat on that. And say, and again, with all of these resilience sort of conversations, is sometimes things are just hard. And we want to be as resilient as possible, but things do, you know, take us unawares or curveballs and etc. So in that case, I think it's the first instinct might not be, oh, it's fine. What can I learn from the situation? It might not be that. It might be, oh my God, I don't know what's going on. I can't cope with the situation. So it's about, again, the self-compassion. Actually, is a big word for this. Self-compassion, to give yourself time to process a situation. If it is negative, if it is, you know, bringing up negative emotions, that's fine. Again, sit with it, how long you need to do that. But then once you've processed that part of it, then how can you then look at the opportunities there in the future to learn, to grow from? How do you do things differently in the future as a result of this particular situation? So I think it is about learning and growth, but self-compassion initially, to give yourself a chance to process and understand the situation you're in.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Aisha. Just before we close the episode, where can people find out more about you? As we mentioned, you obviously have a listen to Aisha's podcast, The Parent Equation. Where else can people find you?
So best place is always LinkedIn, Shamari75, which is actually a bit of a rubbish LinkedIn handle. I should probably change. But if I change it, then I have to change it all over the place. And I'm not sure with the admin of that. Shamari75. Gives away my age. The other place... I mean, I'm not 50 yet, of course not. And the other place, obviously, is aishamari.com. My website has all the information and ways to get in touch with me as well.
Brilliant. Thank you very much. We'll pop those links in the show notes. But thank you so much. It's been really interesting talking to you today and learning more about this the subject of resilience. And very best of luck as you navigate the coming few months.
Thank you, Jane. Thanks very much for having me on.
I really loved delving into that subject today with Aisha. Her point about having that self-awareness to be able to almost rise above your own emotional or gut reactions, to be able to take yourself away from a situation and trust in yourself that you can handle these things. And I'm going to be using some of those tips, certainly myself and with my son, as we navigate growing up and the various challenges that childhood and parenthood throw at you. I hope you enjoyed the episode. Please do leave any comments in the comment section or reviews, and I'll be back next week with another brilliant guest. Thanks for now.